Welcome to Beyond from YVR, the Vancouver International Airport. I'm your host, Tamara Vrooman, President and CEO of YVR. YVR is privileged to be located on Sea Island, which is the traditional and unceded territory of the Musqueam people. And I'd like to take this opportunity to pay my respects to elders past and present. We're here to go beyond and to form real connections. We dig deeper with local newsmakers to learn about their journey. Often it's the values they keep hidden, what's under the surface, that truly drives the person they present to the world. And let's face it, it's also what makes them fun to talk to and makes for an unforgettable interview. On today's episode of Beyond, we're talking to Chief Robert Joseph. Chief Joseph is the Ambassador for Reconciliation Canada and a member of the National Assembly of First Nations Elders Council. He's also a residential school survivor and an honorary witness to Canada's Truth and Reconciliation Commission. Today, we're going to talk to Chief Joseph about the revelations of the last year here in Canada and our country's long-delayed awakening to the truth of residential schools and our growing commitment to reconciliation between Indigenous and non-Indigenous Canadians. Welcome, Chief Joseph. It's an honor to have you here at our airport.
Thank you. It's an honor for me to be here.
So, Chief, you and I have had an opportunity to speak many times, and your commitment to our country, its future, and notwithstanding your own story, your relentless optimism is what makes you truly a gift to the people of our country. And so I'd like to talk a little bit about the fact that we're a couple of months removed from the first ever official day to commemorate truth and reconciliation in Canada. What did that day, September 30th, mean to you this year?
I happened to be home in my home territory where the school that I attended was located as well. So it had deep, deep meaning for me, deep significance. I remembered so many things that I experienced there and came to the moment where we as a country were now celebrating the idea that we can move beyond that and begin to create new relationships that are significant and mitigate some of the underlying causes for the division and difference here, which are hatred, of course, and discrimination and all that kind of thing. So it was really an important day. It was we, all of us Canadians, who were marking that day, acknowledging once again our history, our shared history that was very broken and harmful, and acknowledging the idea that we've discovered that we truly are one with each other in this country and that we can move forward positively in new ways, reconciling those things that have driven people apart.
I know you've been a long advocate for connecting non-Indigenous communities and Indigenous communities to the truth of the colonialism, its effects, as the only pathway that we have collectively to go forward. So talk about it from a importance of that day to the country.
I think that in Canada, we've long, all Canadians, most Canadians, all of our governments, successive, have always aspired to be countries of equality and justice. We stand on the world stage pointing that out to other countries. And we've never really truly lived up to those aspirations. And I think now that we're dealing internally with the issues that were a humanitarian crisis in itself, we're learning now, I think, as Canadians, as people here who live here, that we need to do better, we're going to do better, and we're going to be able to stand tall and proud eventually when we've achieved measures of reconciliation that brings us to our highest humanity.
And so much of that work, of course, had been going on much, much earlier, particularly by Indigenous elders and leaders like you and residential school survivors to bring to surface the truth of residential schools long before, of course, we established the day of September 30th. Could you tell me a little bit about your own work and your own journey that led to something like September 30th? Being designated?
Yeah, I've been actually involved directly almost for over two decades now. I came first to Vancouver to work for a small organization that was called the Indian Residential Schools Project. And that project was, in the beginning, intended to help survivors who were discovering the horror of their past and becoming really traumatized, some going to courts. And there was an awakening internally in the indigenous community of our colonial experience. And it was so deep and harmful that our leaders decided that we ought to respond to that and support survivors as they began to move forward in pathways to healing. And so I worked for that little organization for a few years. And I think I joined every national, provincial, local level committee there was, trying to find appropriate responses to the legacy of residential schools, which has now been termed genocide, of course. So it's serious. But the beauty of all the things that have happened, in spite of the steps that we've had go through that have been very painful, the beauty is there's a promise at the end of it that, first of all, we can heal from trauma, heal from colonization. But more than that, we can go beyond that and begin to think about, no, we'll do more that, more than that. We'll rebuild this country. We'll rebuild ourselves, all Canadians. And then we can truly, like I said originally, live up to those values that we so deeply yearn and aspire to. When I think about reconciliation, so it's not just for Canadians or Indigenous people, rather. It's for all of us, all Canadians and Indigenous people. And you can you imagine when we are reconciled, that it won't only be Indigenous people reconciled, it will be all Canadians. Can you imagine how free that will be? How proud we can be and how strong our children, all of our children are going to begin growing up together. There's so much promise in this idea of reconciliation. And as a result of the recent discovery of the unmarked graves of those little children, Canada has had another moment of awakening. And even in our work, we recognize the volume of it. It's intense, and millions upon millions of Canadians truly do care. And we're all in this moment together saying, okay, what do we do? Well, how do we move forward then? What can I do now that I know what I know? What can we do together? My first response usually is, I think it would be really important if you considered reconciliation as a core value for yourself. So you wake up every morning and you live and breathe it and make up a reconciliation action plan. It might be really simple. You're going to walk by this homeless man on that corner and nobody's really acknowledged him for a long time. So you're going to walk by him and in the morning on your way to work, and you nod at him. And you know what? That may be the first time somebody's acknowledged his humanity, and that may give him reason to want to live again. For a momentary, secondary, he was connected to someone, and it awakens his soul, his spirit, to want to be whatever he wants to move forward. Be.
Chief, listening to you, your generosity of spirit and your hope that you have for what reconciliation can mean for our country is always inspirational to listen to. And I would like to talk about that in a moment. But before I do, if we could focus a bit on truth, it's amazing to me how resilient residential school survivors have been in their persistence on getting the truth to come forward so that all Canadians will bear witness to it.
Yeah, truth is so important. For some reason, we lose sight of how important it is, and we even lose sight of its value, how significant it is to each of us individually and collectively as society. And I think what happened with our colonial history together was that our forefathers, the newcomers who came to Canada, built this country on the basis of racism, they even legalized it and established the Indian Act. And they were doing it in the name of progress, because what they knew, understood was that indigenous people who have been living here forever had an inseparable connection and sense of belonging to the land, and they, and vice versa. And when our worldviews collided, nobody could understand that. And instead of working in the first instance to move forward together in some kind of protocol or agreement, there were a few treaties and otherwise, but there was not enough consideration given or acceptance of our old ways, which we call worldview. And everything that then therefore materialized by the settlers was intended to minimize, mitigate, or simply do away with our reality. And it's really, really a tragic story that we need, and we will forever be grappling with. It's not for us to let it go. In time, when we've achieved enough levels of reconciliation, of course we won't be as ashamed of it or feeling terribly that we failed as human beings. It's going to be a different time, a different environment, and a different perspective of each other. Because one of the things that happens when reconciliation is underway is that it calls us again to our highest consciousness to have discussions about ourselves. Who are we? Why are we here? And we're going to discover that there are so many noble, deep humanitarian reasons for why we're here, that we're not just individuals, we're not just alone, we're all interconnected. In my own case, I discovered that through a vision, because I had to, because otherwise I probably wouldn't be here. But in this vision, I was instructed that I was a part of all of this universe, that everything that I was seeing in my vision, I was a part of, and then this voice spoke to me and said, and I love you, and you're a part of all of this. And that really spoke to the loneliness and the loss and just all of the bad, bad experiences I had in residential school, right? And I thought to myself, well, if I can recover from it, so can everybody else. All Canadians can recover from this notion about being different and separated in silos, or whatever those things that separate, keep us apart, right? And that's the power of reconciliation. When we have deep meaning, it transforms how we think, how we feel, how we see each other. And soon we want to be better. So we got to have those dialogues, those discussions. We can't simply jump to the resolution. We really need to change the way we see and hear each other and begin to develop mutual love and respect for each other.
And that vision, Chief, how did that vision come together? Where you're the source of so much wisdom and inspiration for so many. What was your source of wisdom and inspiration?
It goes back to that whole idea that reconciliation starts with you. If it doesn't start with you, you're not in the game, you never will be, unless it starts with you. And so you make it the core value that we always recommend people make it, a core value, and you live by it every day. And when you discover that, you're going to discover things about yourself you never knew before. You might even begin to love yourself even more if you loved yourself before. And one of the things about that statement is that if we don't have love here for ourselves, how can we help anybody else learn to love themselves and we together, loving each other, right? Yeah. And so there has to be more emphasis on the individual societal relationships that we have. I don't want you to get me wrong. All of the 94 calls to action need to be reconciled. As a matter of fact, for 150 years, they've been trying to do that through politics and other legal means. But when we call ourselves to the table, we come with our hearts and our minds and our souls and our spirit, and we dig down really deep for the best for all of us, really deep for the best that we can give or receive, and depending on where we are on the what side of the ledger we're on when it comes to reconciliation.
Indeed, that fact that it starts from within us and we bring it as we come together is very powerful, and in fact is at the root of so many of the best kinds of change that our communities and our societies have been able to achieve over time, whether it's the love of people from different backgrounds, different genders, different experience. It starts from within. You're listening to Beyond, a podcast from Vancouver International Airport. I'm your host, Tamara Vrooman. Our guest today is Chief Robert Joseph, Ambassador for Reconciliation Canada. Chief Joseph's work as a public speaker, storyteller, art curator, and more has been highly influential in Canada's process of truth and reconciliation. Today, Chief Joseph is sharing his perspective on reconciliation, how it begins, how it continues, and who is responsible for it. We know that many organizations and institutions, whether it's political institutions, community institutions, and increasingly corporations and businesses, are really just groups of people coming together for some kind of common purpose. And we've heard businesses and corporate environments talk more about reconciliation and the commitment to reconciliation as a value, not only for the individuals and for each of us, but for the companies. What role do you think the private sector and business plays in reconciliation?
Well, there are a whole lot of ideas out there. But if we start where we've called ourselves to this morning, with us, which would mean every corporate board member and in the boardroom, or this deputy minister, or all the big wheels, right? All the important people that make the world turn around. If we could harness their hearts and minds to embrace reconciliation and to make it a core value and breathe it into their policies and our mission statements and make it filter down to the rank and file, there would be huge change. And I've traveled the country a little bit and been in some boardrooms, including with rooms full of deputy ministers. And everyone has heard of reconciliation, and they all in their own time are trying to address what that really means. And sometimes it takes a while to change big issues. And those are the ones we call systemic change. And so it takes a little while to do that. But because we ask them in the first place to come as they are, who they are, with the values that they have and that they embrace as core value, it's going to start filtering down into legislation, policies, whatever makes the world go around wherever we are. I just think that as we speak and across this country, there's a lot of effort that's been made and nobody knows about it. Not enough of us know about it. And that's one of the things that I regret, that we don't have a platform or a station where we can feed all this so that we have a place where excellence and best practice around reconciliation can be gone to as a source. And so that we're not always reinventing the wheel or acting independently from each other. And that would include big mega projects, the big home swing ones where the TV cameras come and the radio guys put their speakers in front of you. But a small acts of reconciliation in your backyard or the kitchen or the town hall, every act of reconciliation is important. And all you got to do is make a decision in the first instance, you know what, I'm going to get engaged. And then as you get engaged, you educate yourself, you begin to take steps, you reach out to the indigenous community and others, and you create the dialogue, and soon there are partnerships and we share ideas and it grows. That's we have to find a way to grow reconciliation in this country that is compelling. We haven't done that yet.
That's a very interesting idea, a powerful one and yet a practical one, you know, a place, a platform where we can come together to learn from one another as we educate around reconciliation. Well, certainly here at YVR, we have a commitment to reconciliation. And as you know, at Vancity, when I was the CEO there, we adopted very early reconciliation as a core value to take our whole organization, starting with the individual, but through on that journey. But when you think about the airport as a platform, as a place of connections, as a place of sharing, what are your reflections on why it's important to have this conversation in a place like an airport?
It's so important because everybody on Earth already comes to this place. And everybody from everywhere is broken in one way or the other, or have suffered despair and brokenness or trauma. And we're not flawless. We're not perfect human beings, wherever they come from, whatever the color they are. They are at some point in their lives going to be experiencing the need to reconcile themselves. Maybe it's just themselves, maybe emotionally, mentally, spiritually, they're not balanced. And there's a real importance in staying balanced because that's how you keep peace within. And peace within, by the way, is my ultimate definition of reconciliation. So there are ways for that. But when I think about the Vancouver airport and I think of all the people who come here, and they're always stressed, they probably come from some faraway place. They don't know anybody here and they need to find their center, be calm, peaceful, so you can think straight. And that's an act of reconciliation. It's an act of love, really, to reconcile whatever the tension, internal tension is that you're suffering. But when we have large public entities like the YVR and other people come to see you and you showcase different elements of art or messaging, they're going to get it. They're going to see it. And that in itself is a service to people. Because when they come, they're going to, of course, they always talk about this beautiful YVR in beautiful British Columbia and the territories of the Musqueam. But they're also going to remember the things that they saw and felt and experienced. And I know I've been pretty moved by this airport long before our discussion here. I'd see all these images and I think, holy crow, 20 years ago, maybe even less, you'd never have seen that. So it speaks volume to the idea that people in charge, authority, have determined that it's important to showcase our difference, our art form, whatever it is. And when others see that, it becomes a welcoming symbol for them, those who might be coming in from far away. And they see how diverse, obviously, the interests of YVR is. And so they automatically feel a little more comfortable.
We certainly see an airport isn't, of course, about buildings and planes. It's ultimately about people. And I can't tell you the number of people who tell me that if they're from here, that this feels like home. When they arrive, they just recognize and they feel they're at home. And if they're coming from away, this is often the first place they see when they come to our country, maybe to study as a student or to start a new business or to start the next chapter of their lives. And to have that centered in reconciliation, as you've suggested, and we aspire to, I think even deepens that human connection.
Yeah, you know, there are a couple of things that come to my mind. When people from around the world come here, and they may be lonely already before getting here, or they're running away from something and hoping to come to something better, it's about setting a time of belonging. Everybody wants to belong. Everybody wants to feel connected. And I think YVR, Vancouver Airport, has made efforts to create that environment. And it's really important. It reduces, just simply, generally speaking, the overall stress level in our society when we can reach out to each other and say, you know what, you belong, you're welcome, you have a right to be here, stay as long as you want. It's important.
It absolutely is. And we're very privileged to be working with Musqueam on a welcome post that is going to be commissioned for that very purpose right at the front of our airport. So, Chief, as you think about the future, what gives you the most hope?
When I think about the future, it's about people. It's about people living in harmony together, respecting each other, having had the dialogue that needs to be sustaining, they're respectful all the time, so that it doesn't matter if we don't get everything right, because we have the spirit and the heart and mind to work it out, and that there be no need for stress or division or racism. We mitigate all of that by being people with open hearts and minds who honor, all of us honoring each other. We're going to reach even higher than that.
Absolutely. Your message around it, it's starting with each of us and from within, and so we can connect together for the best of humanity and mutuality is definitely part of your message that I'm hearing here today. And so we're still in a pandemic. We're still going through this great crisis of humanity at the same time that we're seeing a crisis of climate, showing real vulnerability in our communities, opioid crisis in our community, and then, of course, the discovery of the graves at residential schools, all at the same time. What's your advice for people trying to navigate all of that in a way that can allow us to be reconciled?
You know, I used to hear my elders a lot speaking about all of those really challenging moments that we had in our history, they had in their history, or even when we as little children were around. And their message was always consistent. Do not succumb. Do not quit. Do not give up. And that's where resilience comes from, I think. You've got to get up, brush yourself off, and keep doing what it is that you're doing that you think will contribute to the elevation of our common humanity, so that we don't go back to the way things were or begin to hurting each other again. And I think in this time of COVID and, of course, those startling revelations, Canadians are really doing more reflecting than they have done in a long, long while. And at the same time, Indigenous people whose voices haven't been heard are finally thinking, I think they're listening now. And that's the point where we can get together and have really good conversations about who we are, what we want to be as a society now. Given that we're all here and nobody's going away, we need to find a way forward that is harmonious and connected. No.
Human, connected, truth, reconciliation, hope. Those are all the words I've enjoyed.
Better,
together.
Yeah.
We truly are one.
Yeah.
And when we recognize that, we bring our best.
And one day they're going to teach it in our school so that our kids learn it from the time they're knee-high. And they're going to be the messengers of hope and inspiration going forward, right? As it is now, it's been sort of intermittent, maybe broken. But the future, if we do this work, the future looks really good. And it starts with you, and we can do this. And so I want to speak directly to my own people, the Indigenous people. We've never been here this ever in this moment. And it's really a significant moment. It's our moment. We can respond to the call for reconciliation that we're already part of, but we need to engage intensively and to reach out to your neighbors, wherever they are, where they live and work and play in your territories. That's where the really important reconciliation is going to happen for Indigenous people especially. And I think it's important for all Canadians, of course, to be involved, but especially Indigenous people. I'd love to see all of us making an effort to advance this noble idea of reconciliation.
Chief Joseph, thank you so much for spending some time with me today. You're an inspiration. Every time we meet, I'm recommitted to reconciliation, to truth, and to leading in the spirit that you have just outlined here today. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Zvi.
Thanks again to our guest today, Chief Robert Joseph. And thanks to all of you for listening to Beyond from YBR. This show is brought to you by YBR. The show producer is Nathan Atnikoff, edited by Diego Domine, with audio production by Jar Audio. Remember to subscribe to Beyond in your favorite podcast app for more conversations, diverse perspectives, and ideas about how we can all go beyond.